Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you listen today. Today's a special day. Today's Memorial Day weekend. And it can be quite morbid. We talk about those who gave their lives, heroic people who gave their lives for the country. However, we are not people who mourn. Not like other people mourn. We mourn, but not like other people mourn. Because we have a hope of a resurrection. If I can say it in more modern times, we have a certainty of a resurrection. When the scriptures talk about a hope, it's going to that point. Our hope is in the certainty of a resurrection. The scripture passage that we gave was, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Isn't that what you want? What we need are people who are steadfast. We got a lot of people that aren't. What we need are people that are steadfast. Isn't that what you want? Steadfast. I heard Reggie praying, and oh, what great needs there are. If anything, if the storms of this life can blow us off kilter, that's what they are. But the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, be steadfast." A lot of times we're not Bible scholars, we're not Bible students, but I got enough sense to know, because I taught fifth grade. Pay attention to "therefore." You got to know what the "therefore" is there for. And that verse starts off, "Therefore, be ye steadfast." Why should I be steadfast? Why? I'd like to be steadfast, but why? What's the "therefore"? Now, 1 Corinthians 15. If you know anything, you should know without looking what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. If I'd asked you what Genesis 1 is about, most everybody go, "Oh, that's creation." Right? Like, duh. And if I'd say, "What about Genesis 3? You'd say, "Oh, that was Adam and Eve and the fall. Talks about why we got all of our problems." If I'd ask you, "Well, what's John 3 about?" We'd probably have a few drop off, but if we were trying to work our way up with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and keep getting the points, and we don't have to phone a friend, we'd say, "John 3, that's the new birth. That's where Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again." So there are certain high points in scriptures. If you ask me what Habakkuk 2 is about, don't go to me, because I don't know. But Genesis 1, Genesis 3, John 3, I got that. But 1 Corinthians 15 should be right up there, high at the list, for what it's about. One of the reasons it should be high up there, because at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Therefore, be ye steadfast." Whatever 1 Corinthians 15 is about, if you get it, you're going to be steadfast. Is that what you want? When the storms of life come, that you weather them, that you're steadfast. If we're talking Memorial Day, there's something about being steadfast. Have you ever heard of college, and this is going to sound crazy, ever heard basketball, college sports teams' nicknames? Like the Buckeyes? How'd they become Buckeyes? Why did we choose Buckeyes? Or what about Tennessee, the Volunteers? Do you know why they're called the Volunteers? Anybody know? What's that?
Volunteer state.
It's a volunteer state, but why? Because during the Civil War, there were more volunteers for the Confederacy coming from Tennessee than any other state. Therefore, they're the Volunteers. That's for the Confederacy. If you would take the Union forces, do you know what state had the highest amount of volunteers? Ohio. We just didn't claim volunteers, but we beat Tennessee because we had more volunteers than Tennessee. But we'll give them that because we're Buckeyes. But what about Tennessee volunteers? But what about North Carolina? What's their nickname? I know you're saying, I knew Genesis 1, but Tennessee and North Carolina. North Carolina is called the Tar Heels, right? The Tar Heel State. Why are they called the Tar Heels? What a goofy name. What's that? They did. They did, because during the Civil War, the Confederacy, Robert E. Lee, was watching in one of the battles all of the Confederates retreat. And he looked and he says, there's North Carolina standing there like their heels are stuck in tar. And hence, they got the Tar Heel State, because they did not retreat. My point is, they were steadfast. When everybody else ran, they stood. They were the Tar Heels. You may not be from North Carolina, and you know their colors. They say that the sky in Carolina is Carolina blue. You got to know the North Carolina. But you know what? We may not be North Carolina, but we should out-volunteer the Volunteers. And we should out-Tar Heel the Tar Heels. We need to be steadfast. In our walk with Christ, we need to be steadfast. Have you heard anybody preaching lately about being steadfast? It's me today. Be steadfast. Because things are going to get tough. Things are going to get worse. I'm telling you that. We know that the last days are coming. They're coming. You need to be steadfast. Unmovable. Tar Heels. Unmovable. Everybody else runs. Not me. Not you. Be unmovable. People say, but you don't know what happened. I don't care what happened. Be unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. Undeterred. Chin out. Shoulders back. Head up. Undeterred. Therefore, be ye steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know your labor is not in vain. Tell you a story. Some of you guys know me. Some of you don't. Some of you guys know that I'm all over the place. I just got a card, and you guys wouldn't know it was to Mr. Riz. You guys would have any clue? Would you think I'd be Mr. Riz? Do you know what Riz is? Yeah. I teach at school, and the kids call me the Rizzer of Oz. And they go, Tinlin, you got Riz. And I'd say, yeah, the only problem is I got it too late. And some of you guys go, what is he talking about, Riz? Some people go, what's he talking about Tar Heels? What's he talking about, Riz? I got the Riz thing going. I just got it too late. But there's something, I do a million and one things all over the place. And my wife will tell you, why is he all over the place? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know your labor is not in vain. You keep on keeping on. And when everybody cuts and runs, not you. You volunteer, you Tar Heel, and you Buckeye. Do you know why they're called Buckeyes? Because the Buckeye tree, back in the old days, was used for artificial limbs. Did you know that? The wood from the buckeye tree was used for artificial limbs. And why was it used? Because it was hard and tough and lasted. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Grace Community Church, I heard all kinds of hard things going on. Right over there is Lexington Elementary. Right over there is where you do your Good News Club. Right over there is the future. Right over there are kids that are lost without Christ, and they need to hear. And guess what you're doing? You're doing the work of the Lord. God bless you. Child Evangelism Fellowship has the ability to reach 400 elementary schools in an 8-county area in Northeast Ohio. Right now, they've got 40 Good News Club. Right now, there's 360 possibilities of Good News Club starting, but the churches won't step up. God bless you. You stepped up. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know it's not in vain. For those of you that are involved in the Good News Club, God bless you. There will be people that will bless you in eternity because you brought them to Christ. Can I tell you a little story? Some of you guys were not at the Child Evangelism Fellowship banquet, were you? How many of you were not? Oh, you missed out on good food. Gary was there. Gary spoke. And they had one other short little bald guy that spoke. That was me. And I told the story about when I was a kid, my brother came home late from school. I said, where you been? I was like 8 years old. I said, where you been? He said, there's a lady down the street telling us how to go to heaven. You know what my response was? I'm going. I didn't need anybody to entice me. You mean you're going to tell me how to be right with God? You're going to tell me how I can know I'm going to heaven? I'm there, baby. Where was I at the next week? There. I walked in this White House, went down the stairs. There's these little benches. I had no clue what I was doing. Back in the day, you go to somebody's house and nobody cared. I didn't even ask Mom if I could go. I just went. She had cupcakes for me. I remember that. And she got up there with this wordless book and started showing me how that I had a sin problem. And there was a Savior who died for me to remove that sin problem and promise me eternal life. I was in. Count me in. At the end of that year, I was given a Bible for saying all my memory verses for a year. They were tough back then. Kids don't do anything like that anymore. I had to do memory verses for a year. Remember, the snow was higher back then, too. Some of you young people don't know how high it was. It was high. Maybe you've seen pictures of it, like Mount Everest and stuff. That's how we went to school, okay? And the older people are going to swear the winters were tougher than they are now. Am I right or not? Older people, am I right? You just noticed who the older people were. What you should have done is said, I don't know, I'm not that old. Set you up. Okay, but you know. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I said my memory verses for a year, and when I did, I was so proud I got my Bible. And Mrs. Leshinsky signed my Bible, said to Kurt Tenlin for saying his memory verses for a year. It was my, I never owned a Bible before. It was a shiny black Bible. I got it in my car. And I took it to camp last year, and I was showing that when I got home, I was so excited, I ran home. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing. I just ran home. I wanted to show everybody my brand new Bible. And being the clumsy little doofus that I was, I tripped over the sidewalk after about 10 steps, went flying, my Bible went flying, boom, hits the sidewalk, gets scuffed. Still got a scuff mark on it. I got that thing, and I was heartbroken. My brand new Bible lasted about 3 minutes. And I was showing that Bible to people out at church camp that I work at, and the camp director went crazy. He was so crazy, he was carsy. That is a dyslexic crazy. He was carsy. And this is a true story. When I was coaching football, there was a kid that came in and he had on his jersey C-A-R-Z-Y. We said, what do you got carsy on there for? He goes, that's me. I'm crazy. I'm Bob. And everybody goes, no, you're carsy. And from then on, he got put in the game, put carsy in. And he was known as carsy from then on. You don't want to go through football known as carsy because you can't spell crazy. But anyway, back to the point. He went crazy. And when he went crazy, I said, what's going on? Why are you so crazy? He said, I've got a daughter that's in fifth grade and a son that's in third grade, and both of them have received Christ because of the influence of my wife and I. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your work is not in vain. He said, because of our influence, our children, their eternity is set. He said, and the reason my wife was able to do it is because her dad brought her the story of Christ. Her dad was Dr. Jake Tavisi. And Dr. Tavisi came to Christ because of a guy called Jerry Runner. You guys have probably never heard of Jerry Runner. He was my roommate in college. I knew him since my freshman year in high school. And Jerry got saved through my influence. And I got saved through the influence of Marge Leshinsky, who ran that Good News Club. Hundreds of people. And when I say hundreds, I am not exaggerating. Hundreds have come to Christ through that long line of spiritual succession. And where did it start? I don't know where it started with Marge Leshinsky, but with me, I can trace it back to Marge Leshinsky, who gave little Kurt chocolate cupcakes when he was 8 years old. She has long since passed away, but her work continues on. And her work is not in vain. I would have loved to have seen her and said, Marge, thank you for being steadfast. Thank you for being unmovable. Thank you for always abounding in the work of the Lord. You probably could have done something more satisfying to you, but you didn't. And you had those little kids, those little street urchins that came in from the streets of Canton, and you came in, and every week you were faithful. You made the cupcakes. You made the chocolate chip cookies. You had the Bible story for them, and you had no clue how far-reaching your ministry would go. I hope you're saying, Kurt, that's a great story. But what I really want you to say is, Kurt, that can be me. I got no idea how far-reaching my ministry goes. And I ain't stopping it. The storms of life come. I don't care. Keep going. Be steadfast. Unmovable. I'm not going to be removed. That should be the... There's certain old hymns that you should have. And a lot of times, the old hymns are, I shall not be moved. You preach to them, nothing moves them. Thank you, Dan. Most people don't get the joke, but you got it. I was looking at Dan when it was because he goes, yeah, that's what it was. You preach all day, every day, and nothing moves them. Don't be that way. But you know what should move you? That gospel message. That's what moves me. I'm late for the door when you start talking about this, that, and the other thing. And everybody else thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. It's nothing. You know what moves me? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I believe in a resurrection. Oh, by the way, 1 Corinthians 15, it's all about that gospel message and the resurrection. Read it. If Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. But he is risen. And at the end, he's saying that we're sure of a resurrection. And therefore, that's what the therefore is there for. Therefore, be steadfast. So my question to you as I wrap up, I got about 3 minutes. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to go over. You got things to do. But what I'm trying to do today is have you folks buy in to what I'm saying. Each of you. Each and every one of you. And what I want you to buy in, if you'll buy in, that you're utterly sure of a resurrection. If you will, you will be steadfast. Because you know your work's not in vain in the Lord. And what we need are Christians who are steadfast. What you'll be is unmovable. When the storms of life come and everybody else wavers, there you stand like a Tar Heel. Always abounding. Not sometimes abounding. Not abounding during the winter, but in the summer, I'm off. You won't see me again. Not when the weather's good because I'm golfing. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we need. And not one, but all of you. And if Gary had a congregation here that said, you know, that little short ball guy came in and I'm in. Good News Club, I'm in. Let me see what I can do. I'm in. I might not be able to do X, Y, Z, but I can do ABC. Do ABC. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See how I get you to memorize those verses? You say, Kurt, you said it over and over and over. Yeah, because we need people that are steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding. Always, 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 always. Consistent. Tough. You get it. Why? Because I believe in a resurrection. Why? Because the resurrection is true. Oh, and by the way, this is a little side note. This is like blow your mind, but I couldn't preach it. We get in trouble because way back, long ago, we said a prayer sometime. And that prayer we said is supposed to be our little ticket to heaven. We said a prayer. And somebody said, good for you, here's your ticket to heaven. When you die, you're going to go to heaven because you said that prayer. Maybe you say, yeah, I did that. I remember. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You think eternal life starts when you die. Let me give you a Bible verse. It's an unusual one. You've probably not heard it. For God so loved the world. You said, wait a minute, I heard that one. Good, pay attention. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know that one? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life when he die. I misquoted it, didn't I? It doesn't say that, and you know it doesn't. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When do you get it? The moment you believe. Resurrection life is right here, right now. Last story and I'm done. I tell this story a lot because I already mentioned my good friend Jerry Runner. Jerry Runner wrote me an email and said, I have to write you an email because I can't call you. And I can't call you because if I do, I'll start crying. And so I'm writing you an email. He said, I got terminal cancer. And I don't have long to live. And what I want you to do is preach my funeral. That was one of the hardest things I ever did in my entire life. Because it was a good friend. And a lot of times I couldn't properly mourn. Because I had to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I had to preach his funeral. And I went to his house. He lived in Florida. And I went to his house about 2 weeks before he passed. And he said to me, he said, Kurt, and we just sat down for like 2 hours. He said, Kurt, at my funeral, tell my wife this. And then he said, tell my children this. And then he said, and anybody else that comes to my funeral, make sure they hear this. And what were the three variations of this? Kurt, preach the gospel. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach the gospel. And the reason I contacted you is because I know you would preach the gospel. And more than anything, at my death, just like my life, I want Jesus Christ uplifted and preached. Not all this nonsense, not all this social justice. Preach the gospel, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. I said, sure, Jerry, that's what I'll do. Then his daughter was there, and his daughter is a missionary to Nicaragua. I mean, Honduras. Her daughter's a missionary to Honduras. And she had to leave. She had to go back to the mission field. And it was one of the most dramatic, emotional things I ever witnessed. I went in the other room. I witnessed it with my ears, not my eyes. As Jerry hugged his daughter and told her goodbye. And knowing on this earth that that goodbye was seriously goodbye, you'd never see her again. He knew it, and she knew it, and they bawled their eyes out. She left. I came out of the room, and I put my arm around my good friend. I said, Jerry, this dying sucks. See, that's what you do as a minister. You say things like, this dying sucks. And Jerry said, Kurt, I die daily. He quoted the Apostle Paul. And he said, I die daily. Every day I die. And every day I experience the resurrection once again. And he said to me, Kurt, this death that's coming, it's the last one I'll ever experience. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. And therefore, to my last breath, I will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, because I know that work is not in vain. Brothers and sisters, commit to be steadfast. Commit to be unmovable. Commit to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Go to Gary, go to Dan and say, what can I do? What can I do? What more can I do? Is there anything else that needs to be done? So at the end of the day, the question is this. Did Jesus Christ die for you? And if you're shaking your head, yeah, you're rolling. Did he die for your sins? Was he buried and rose again the third day? Did he? Do you believe in that resurrection? Then face whatever. You got it? If that resurrection is a certainty, then face whatever. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. On Memorial Day, we honor the dead. But how about if we start living? How about now that eternal life begins right here, right now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's face it. Let's not crawl up into a fetal position and cry and whimper. Let's go. Just like my buddy Jerry. Let's go. Tell my wife, tell my children, tell my friends, but also always tell them, I die daily. And I've been risen over and over and over again. The resurrection is assured. Let us pray together. But let us pray when our heads are raised from the bow that I will stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be abounding in his work. Regardless of my infirmities, I will stand. And I will go to my last breath serving the one who died for me. Let's pray. Lord, have your Holy Spirit touch hearts, Lord. Not heads, but hearts. Help people to drive that stake down deep that I get it. I believe in a resurrection. And I can face what comes my way. And now I've got a job to do with the time that I have left. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, that each person, not one is left out here today, Lord. Not one that sits back and says, that ain't for me. That I pray they say, that's what I needed to hear today on Memorial Day 2024. Drive it home deep, Lord, and have that commitment be deep Holy Spirit caused. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attention. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.